शब्दधानस्य वासुदेवकर्तारुचिः सेवयामेवयाप्राह पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्.
By serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva.
Shrinvatam Kata Kirtanah Hridayantam Yabhadrani Vidunoti Suhri Satam.
Shri Krishna,
the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul, everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee,
cleanses desire and enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his message, which are in themselves,
virtuous and properly heard and chanted.
By regular attendance of the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised as a transcendental song, established as an irrevocable fact.
Tada rajastam bhavah kamalopadayaschaye cheta eta anavidam sitam sattve prasidati.
As soon as irrevocable loving service established in the heart,
the effects of nature's passion and ignorance, such as lust and hankering, disappear from the heart.
Then the devotee is established in goodness and becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in unalloyed goodness,
the man whose mind has been enlightened by contact with devotional service to the Lord,
gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation of all material association.
Vidyate hridaye granthe chidyante sarva sarvayah kshiyante charya karmani drishta eva shvare.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces.
The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees itself as master.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shosti Gaur Vakta Rindi Gijay Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Vodobuja Shama Kunda Radha Kutta Giri Gavadad Gijay Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadav Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Rindi Gijay Samadatta Bhakta Rindi Gijay Go Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhupade Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacharisha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Verse 26. Tasadjate dadrisim angrim auga auga marsha. Tirdaspatam hridikirtam supaksha yogai. Uchsikta bhat upa hat asaya jiva kosha. Apurva vat gatiam atan anugrahan abatan.
Thank you.
Tasya is Adya today ke your Dadrasimha. We have seen Angrim, the feet, Agha, of sins, Oga, floods, Masha, which undo Tirtha, of the holy pilgrimage site, Aspadam, source, Riddhi, in the heart, Kritam, place, Su, well, Vipakva, matured, Yogai, by those whose practice of yoga, Utsikta, fully developed, Bhakti, by devotional service, Upahata, destroyed, Asaya, material mentality, Jiva, of the individual soul, Kosha, whose external covering, Ahapu, they attained, Bhavat, your Gatim, destination, Atha, therefore, Anugrahana, please show mercy, Bhaktan, to your devotees. Translation: today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. Purport: the holy river Ganges has the power to destroy all sorts of sinful reactions because he originates at the Lord's lotus feet and thus contains the dust of his feet. Explaining this verse, Srila Sridhar Swami says, if the Lord might advise the sages that they need not concern themselves with devotional practices because they are already far advanced in spiritual knowledge and austerity, they hereby respectfully decline such a suggestion, pointing out that only those yogis who have destroyed their material mind and ego by surrendering to Krishna in pure devotional service can attain full perfection. They conclude by praying to the Lord that he favor them in the most merciful way by making them his devotees. Translation: today we have directly seen your feet, the source of the holy Ganges, which washes away volumes of sins. Perfected yogis can at best meditate upon your feet within their hearts, but only those who render you wholehearted devotional service and in this way vanquish the soul's covering, the material mind, attain you as their final destination. Therefore, kindly show mercy to us, your devotees. So this is the conclusion of the the praise that the sages give to Krishna on seeing him. So here they describe his feet, which destroy sin because they're the source of the Ganga River. This, of course, is a reference to a Vishnu form, not exactly Krishna. They see Krishna, but they also are thinking of Vishnu simultaneously. So obviously they have more of a Aishwarya vision of Krishna, as was previously illustrated by the fact that they are confused because of his human-like activities, which are an aspect of sweetness. So their mode of praise is one of somehow accommodating that sweetness within the preferred vision of Krishna as having lots of powers. So of course Krishna does have all powers, Because whatever powers Vishnu contains, Krishna also contains those powers. And so we have so many stories to illustrate that in the Bhagavatam, such as Krishna showing Brahma that he's the source of all the Vishnus who create all the universes. Or later in the Bhagavatam we see the story of how Krishna took Arjuna beyond the universe to meet Mahavishnu. And then they retrieved the sons of the Brahmana and came back to Dwarka. And then, of course, one can take that story in a different way because of the ambiguous way in which Vishnu made his statement. So one can take that Krishna is a byproduct of Mahavishnu. But then one can also take the words in another way. So Arjuna thought about that afterwards, and then he understood that actually Vishnu had to make such a complicated arrangement just to see Krishna. So therefore, Krishna is more powerful. Why couldn't Mahavishnu just walk into Dwarka and see Krishna? But he had to make an arrangement of disturbing the Brahmana and, you know, committing offense against the Brahmana by stealing his sons, etc. You know, a very elaborate arrangement, just so that Krishna would finally come to see Mahavishnu. Of course, he came outside of the material world to do this. So then Arjuna's conclusion was that, therefore, Krishna is greater. Krishna has a place in Dwarka that even Mahavishnu cannot go. So therefore he's in a higher position. So therefore whatever powers are there in Mahavishnu are also there in Krishna, but he's even more powerful. So we have many stories to show how whatever powers Vishnu or other forms of the Lord have, they are also contained within Krishna. So definitely whatever purification takes place by the Ganga and by the power of the Lord, that he has touched the Ganga, so that it does become purifying, that power is also in Krishna himself. Of course, we should not think that purification from sin, which is mentioned here, is the ultimate goal of contacting the Supreme Lord. This is a secondary goal. But because it is very difficult to become purified of sin, this is often stated in praising the Supreme Lord, he destroys all your sins, etc. Because it is a very difficult process. And of course previously it was just said that the devotees are able to destroy sin more than the holy Tirthas. And then the Supreme Lord ultimately is in the devotee, so therefore the Supreme Lord has the greatest power to destroy sin. But that is not the ultimate power of the Supreme Lord that the devotees are interested in. As far as people in the material world are concerned, yes, if they have some faith in the Lord and they bathe in the Ganga, then they get their sins removed. So they are interested in removing their sins because they don't like suffering in the material world. So they're not particularly interested in getting liberation, but at least let us get rid of our sins so we don't have to suffer. So this is, of course, a material conception of the Lord. He helps us live a healthy, happy material life. Those who are striving for liberation can take advantage of bathing in the Ganga and other holy rivers to get purified. And if they get completely purified of sin, then they get liberation. So if one gets completely free of sin, that ultimately means you have to get completely free of karma. If one is completely free of karma, then one is liberated. One gets moksha. So that is the goal of the yogis and the jnanis, and they're happy with that. However, though it is a spiritual goal, the devotees do not strive for this, because if they strive for this, it is an obstacle to their bhakti. So that is the sense in which the definition of bhakti is given by Rupa Goswami, that jnana karma dhyanavratam, the bhakti should not be covered by jnana or karma or other processes. So being covered means that this creates obstacles to the bhakti and we don't get the proper result. So if the jnana or the karma or any other process gets mixed with the bhakti in such a way that we don't get prema, or we get a weaker form of prema, then it's called obstacle. Yeah. So for that reason, the devotees avoid it within their practice of devotional service. So they can't have a gyan misra bhakti, a desire to also attain liberation, freedom from suffering and sin. If that is mixed in, then that is gyan misra bhakti. What to speak of simply desiring to get liberation, like the jnani, that is completely rejected, because if one attains that position, it is very difficult to advance further and accept and worship the Supreme Lord after that point, because one gets fixed in Brahman, and in Brahman there is no object of vision or worship. Particularly if one concentrates like anything on that goal of oneness and oneness and oneness, then with no qualities, then one gets very fixed in that conception, and if one gets liberation, very difficult to advance. Others, of course, can attain that liberation without attachment, and they can advance further if they don't have such attachment simply to that state of Brahman. So we see, for instance, Sukadev was a Atmarama. He was fixed in Brahman, but he went beyond that. He became attracted to the qualities of Krishna and the activities of Krishna, and then he became a great devotee of the Lord. It's possible to go beyond that. But if one gets very, very fixed on that Brahman to the extent of rejecting everything else, then it's rather hopeless. So therefore, the devotees in general avoid that goal of liberation. So thus, simply getting free of sins and karma and getting liberation is not the real goal for the devotee. For people practicing pure bhakti, for other devotees who have mixed bhakti, or for people in the material world, then the promise that worship of the Lord will get rid of all your sinful activities, that's very attractive. And by that we can prosper in the material world, or by that we can also get free, get liberation. So for those such people, it's very, very attractive. In any case, even for liberation, there is dependence on Supreme Lord. Even if you don't want to worship the Lord, in order to get that liberation without the Lord as a realization, you have to worship the Lord. So even mukti is dependent upon some bhakti. But then the whole goal is that we worship the Lord in order to get mukti. So they can attain that mukti, and then the Lord disappears, and then they're very happy in that state of Brahman. But the devotee doesn't want that at all. The Lord can give liberation, he can destroy all sins, etc. But that is not the goal of the devotees of the Lord. We can say an intermediate goal. So we should never mix up the intermediate goal with the final goal. And then we take the intermediate goal as the final goal. This becomes a big problem. So that is the problem with the jnanis and the yogis and the karmis. They get stuck on those individual goals. So the intention of scripture is not to make them the ultimate goal, but to be the intermediate goals only. And they're a step towards a higher goal and a higher goal and a higher goal.
Just like graduation from secondary school is one goal, but then graduation from college is a higher goal. So we don't stop just getting 12 standard degree. You want to go further, get a college degree, then you maybe get a master's degree or a PhD or whatever like that. And there's different steps. So the intermediate steps are not the final goal. And if we stop partway, we have not fulfilled the purpose of the school. We've not fulfilled the purpose of the scriptures if we only go partway and we do karma yoga or jnana yoga or astanga yoga. You have to go all the way through and come to the final goal, that is bhakti. So the sages, they appreciate that, even though their expectation of the Lord is filled with majesty and aishvarya, still they appreciate the Lord as the final destination, and therefore they say that we are your devotees, bhaktan. We are your devotees. We have met you, so we've got to see you. So therefore, we've in some sense achieved our goal. Therefore, they're above the, let's say, the idea of liberation, etc. They do appreciate the fact that they can get rid of the coverings of material nature, mind and subtle body, etc., through the process of bhakti. So the process of bhakti is such that it includes everything. So the goals of karma, yoga, and jnana are achieved if one achieves the goal of bhakti. Therefore, one doesn't have to strive for these goals separately. It's all included within the process of bhakti. Whatever you can get through karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga, you get through bhakti yoga. However, the devotee usually does not accept these things because they become obstacles for his further advancement. But they're readily available to the devotee. So it's described that the real devotee, he actually gets approached by liberation and karma, and they're begging, please, we want to serve you, we're your devotees. And they follow the devotee around and say, please, please, we want to give you something. But the wise devotee says, no, go away, we don't want you. It rejects them, doesn't want the service of jnana and karma, because you get material benefits and you get liberation. Readily these things are available, but at the same time devotee tries to avoid these things because of their negative connotations. At the same time, the Lord may give things, as he gave to Dhruva and others, even though they didn't want, because he understands that it will not interfere with their service and their advancement. So then that's acceptable. Of course, the devotee never wants sayujya. That's nothing. He won't accept that at all. He completely rejects that because it becomes very unfavorable to devotional service. But the effects of liberation are there in the spiritual world. What is the effect of liberation? No material body, no karma, no subtle body, no material desires, not touched by anything in the material world. So that's automatically there in the spiritual world, if one attains a spiritual form in the spiritual world. So the positive factors of liberation are there for the devotee, in any case, when he goes beyond the material world. But then there are negative factors with liberation as such. That is, we don't realize anything. No form of the Lord, no qualities, etc. So that is the part that the devotee does not want. So we get the positive effects of impersonal liberation by worshiping the Lord. And we avoid the negative aspects, which are, just realizing oneness, etc. So therefore, we should not think that the devotee is deprived of the benefits of liberation. He also gets those things, but he doesn't, he meticulously avoids that state of liberation. Of course, he generally tries to avoid getting positions in the material world, but sometimes the Lord makes an arrangement for him, so he has to accept those arrangements. Nevertheless, in the spiritual world, again, we have arrangements for all sorts of pleasures. So you get salokya and sharshti and sarupya. So you get a very nice body, you get a very nice place, you get very nice powers, and you can manifest things as you want. So you got all opportunities to exhibit wealth, opulence, fame, beauty, whatever you want to in the spiritual world. This, of course, the devotee also doesn't want. He doesn't want to display these things. So therefore, it is said that the devotee rejects all of these types of liberation. But then it also says that the devotee will accept these things, salokya, sarsti, sarupya, etc., if they're favorable to bhakti. So in that it is useful to have a place in the spiritual world and have a spiritual body and have some powers. Yes, to that extent, the devotee accepts those things, and then he serves the Lord in the spiritual world with a spiritual form with certain powers. Then acceptable. So therefore, we can say the so-called enjoyments that are there in the material world are rejectable, but there are some enjoyments in the spiritual world which are offered to the devotee. So those who practice mixed bhakti, like karma, misra bhakti, then they have a little more tendency to display these things in the spiritual world. They're a little more attached to salokya and sarupya and sarshti. And we see the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. They will sometimes display their ability to change their forms and do different things, you know, manifest different powers, etc. Whereas other devotees don't desire to do that. So everything is included in the process of bhakti itself. Why? Because the whole goal of this bhakti is to attain the Supreme Lord, and the Supreme Lord is the source of everything in the material world, everything in Brahman, and everything in the spiritual world. So naturally, he can arrange anything for the devotee. So this arrangement only takes place for the devotee of the Lord, the bhakta. It does not take place for the karmi or the jnani or the yogi. It's only for the devotee that the Lord makes this arrangement. Why? Because there is, of course, the Lord is attached to the devotee. And why is the Lord attached to the devotee? Because the devotee is attached to the Lord. And it is not so in the other processes. Definitely, the jnani and the yogi have to worship the Lord to get their liberation, but they're not attached to the Lord. They don't have not established that affectionate relationship with the Lord. So therefore, the Lord does not respond with affection. He responds with affection to the devotee, and because of the devotee's affection, and this creates a powerful link between the jiva and the Supreme Lord, an unbreakable link between them. And then the Lord gives the devotee everything. Just as in the material world, the devotee has to avoid association with materialistic people because he will start picking up materialistic qualities. So therefore, we're advised to avoid that association, and instead we take association with people with good qualities. But then, who has the best qualities? Supreme Lord. Associate intimately with the Supreme Lord, we get all those qualities. We absorb all those wonderful qualities of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we get everything from the Supreme Lord. Everything is supplied to the devotee. Of course, the devotee, everything is supplied to the devotee, but the devotee does not need anything material. Because the only way you establish this relationship with the Lord is to get beyond the material. We have to give up the material conception and ahankara and material needs and material identity and material attachments, etc. If we have those things, then we cannot get close to the Lord. It restricts our attachment. So only when the devotee has given up those things, then the Lord gives everything to the devotee. At that point, the relationship is strong enough that the Lord gives to the devotee everything. So it depends upon the the purity of the relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is one of great affection for the Lord. So if it's tainted to that degree, the Lord does not respond. The more it is pure, the Lord responds more. So the perfect state is the state of prema, where there is no impurities, no obstacles at all. The jiva has complete love for the Supreme Lord. And therefore, the Lord gives everything to the devotee. So that is the sixth quality of bhakti, Krishna Akarshani. That bhakti attracts Krishna. So that happens in prema itself. Krishna is attracted to that prema. And therefore, he gives everything to the devotee. The devotee, of course, is not demanding anything from the Lord, because the nature of that prema is he wants to give everything to the Lord. He only wants to serve the Lord. The Lord, on the other hand, wants to give everything to the devotee. The Lord wants to, the devotees give everything to the Lord. The Lord's giving everything to the devotee. But it's not that the devotee is expecting, well, I will give everything and then I'll get everything from the Lord. No, he doesn't expect that either. No, he just wants to give. So this is that pure, unconditional love of the jiva for the Supreme Lord. So that is we have to practice that. So that practice is called sadhana. So the whole sadhana bhakti is a practice of giving that unconditional love to the Supreme Lord without expecting things for ourselves, without trying to get material things or liberation or anything. So this becomes a daily practice involving the mind and all the different senses. The more we can express that, practice the expression of that love, then that practice itself ultimately produces that love. So we go from faith to a little bit of bhakti, and then finally it turns into bhava, and then turns into prema. So it gradually grows like a plant grows from a seed, and then finally gives a fruit. So that takes place provided we follow the proper process. First of all, we have to get the seed. Seed has to be planted in the proper field, and then we have to water it properly, and then finally we get the results. So we have to be attentive to that and not water the wrong plant. And water the right plant. There's a story of the farmer. So he has a field, and in Bengal there is another very clever plant called shamgach, and it looks just like rice. So the foolish farmer cultivates this shamgach, and he's thinking, oh, I got such a nice field of rice, and it looks just like rice growing up, and he takes care of it, and it grows up, and then finally harvest comes, no rice. It's a weed. And so he's cultivated for all this time, and the result is nothing. So we have to cultivate the right creeper, the creeper of bhakti, not some other creeper. So we cultivate the other creepers, then we get weeds growing up, and we don't recognize what is the weed and what is the true bhakti, and we end up with material things instead. So we have to cultivate that bhakti, that pure love for the Supreme Lord. Starts out as faith, turns into the seed of bhakti, and then we develop it. So it takes place in gradual stages, but assisted by the Supreme Lord, His mercy, and the mercy of the devotees. And then we get the result.
And it is also said in the scriptures that has to be one, has to be a dasana das to attain any sort of devotion. But at one stage, what is the position of the individual soul? Will it get a direct opportunity to serve the Lord, or it has to remain just as a dasana das, there it is?
Well, the attitude of the devotee is always that das, das, anudas. Even the highest person like Radha is in that position. So the attitude of the devotee is always that. What we get, that's up to the Supreme Lord ultimately in His mercy. But the devotee always thinks like that. And particularly the higher one goes in rasa, then the one doesn't think of one being superior to anybody else or whatever like that. And one simply serves the servant of the servant of the servant. So that is the only aspiration of the devotee ultimately.
One more question, Guru Maharaj. We see that there is the law of the land to make the citizens behave properly, and then we have the law of karma which controls overall human beings for its for their activities. And we see such an example in the temple. We have certain rules to be followed, which is implemented and carried out by the president of the temple. Do you have anybody of that sort in the spiritual world who regulates and controls the?
They don't need, because naturally everybody is spontaneously following Krishna. Here we have these rules because people have independence and they want to do their own thing, and they have their own conception of who they are and how they're going to do this or that or whatever. So we need rules to guide people. In the material world, we have rules because they commit sinful activities, and therefore we have rules to punish them if they don't. But we have rules of bhakti because people tend to misbehave or become too independent because they're also affected by material motives, etc. So therefore we have standard rules of conduct for devotees also. And if we don't follow those, then we end up with problems.
When Dhruva at one point of time says that he doesn't want any position or anything in the material world, is it proper to understand that he's at the level of prema and still the Lord awards because he will not be deviated from the level of prema?
Who?
Dhruva.
Yeah, well, of course, he's a very special case because he got to see the Lord directly and whatever like that, and got direct mercy for him. So yeah, we put him on that level of prema.
Okay. Yeah. And what about Kala Krishnadas, where the personal association of the Lord, which is very rarest, still he goes away from Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya had to take some effort.
Yeah. Well, we can take that as an example of pastime only. Not that he's... some pastime like that. Or even like Chodahari Das or whatever, they're part of the Lord's pastimes, so we don't have to condemn them or as regular materialists, because they are associates of the Lord. At the same time, of course, there are many people who meet the Lord, many demons, like Shishupala and whatever, meet Krishna, but they don't, they get mercy also, but we don't consider them devotees at all.
Mahavishnu cannot enter Krishna's abode, Maharaj?
Well, unless the Lord wants them to, but generally, it's a separate pastime place and a separate pastime and a separate form. So we don't see Vishnu forms in Vaikuntha, because there's Krishna with the Vrishnis, and he's acting something like a human being, as these sages are describing. So that Vishnu form is quite different. They don't mix the two abodes together, just like Ramchandra doesn't mix his abode with Goloka or whatever like that. So Vishnu also keeps a separate abode in Vaikuntha.
And
they're all the same Lord, obviously, but still they keep separate.
Does it mean the Krishna's associates are superior to Mahavishnu?
Yes.
Krishna's associates in his abode are superior to Mahavishnu?
Well, they're jivas, so in that sense they're not. But they're in a higher position because they're attracted to Krishna. So in that sense, and they have a different privilege. Just like Lakshmi cannot get entrance into the Rasleela. So that, because she's inferior to the gopis in one sense, but of course she's also Shakti of the Lord. But that she has a different qualification and a different world she lives in. Should we have intention of understanding that Hare Krishna Bhavamantra is not other than Radha and Krishna alone, at least for Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Well, we're chanting Hare Krishna to attain Radha and Krishna. That's our intention in Hare Krishna. Other people may have other goals, but as far as us, that's it.
In the beginning, you were explaining regarding this that even the Karmi, Jnani, Yogi, if they like to get perfection in their own level or own path, they have to take up some, they have to do some devotional service, they have to worship the Lord. How should be the worship? Only simply recognition is sufficient, or they have to also do some devotional activities like hearing, chanting, remembering?
Well, they can do all these activities. It is not the prominent part of the process. It's an anga of their jnana or their yoga or whatever. It's only an anga. It is not the main process, but it's a support for their process. And in doing that, they can also not offend the Lord. Say, I'm doing this, but actually Vishnu is not the Supreme Lord after all. He's just a material entity. Then it becomes aparad. So they can have no aparad, and they do the worship with the goal of getting liberation or whatever goal they want.
You see, Maharaj, from Bhakti Rasam, it's in that devotional service, it attracts the Supreme Lord itself. It's called itself. So because devotional service is so powerful that even if a jnani or yogi or karmi does some devotional service, that devotional service might attract the that jnani also. He also might turn to the devotees also.
Can.
There is a possibility.
Yeah.
Because of the quality of the devotional service.
Yeah. So he could.
Yeah.
Provided he gets association with devotees.
Yeah.
Mercy of devotees. Yeah. But on the other hand, if he gets associated again, he says, okay, you do this worship of Vishnu, but the goal is merge in Brahman. And so they emphasize the goal of Brahman, then he won't get, he'll just get into Brahman ultimately. And he'll pray to, when praying to Vishnu is that I want to get liberated. That will be his goal. So if he gets associated with devotees, fine, then he can advance. Same with the karmi, or same with the yogi.
You see, Maharaj, regarding this, in the spiritual world, number of devotees doesn't serve Krishna directly. They are dasana dasa, I mean they serve through the devotees in the spiritual world. But in the material world, see, there is a great chance for the devotee to serve Krishna directly in the material world. But it's not available in the spiritual world.
Mm-hmm.
In the material world, there is a direct chance for the devotees to worship directly. But in the spiritual, it's not available.
Right. How do you mean?
In the spiritual, they cannot serve Krishna directly. They become dasanadas. They serve the Krishna through the devotees.
Well, even in the material world, they have the same idea. They may serve but directly, but still, their idea is they are servant of the servant. Spiritual world also, they may serve directly, but still they have the idea that they're servant of the servant of the servant. And the higher they go, that more that idea becomes prominent.
So that means when devotee advance, slowly in the materials he becomes the dasanudasa. From directly serving Krishna to he serve under the devotees.
Yeah.
In the material world also.
Both.
Because he has to develop that mentality.
Yeah, yeah. Both places.
Yeah.
A few online questions, Maharaj. In the Vaishnava Association, we have seen all great devotees followed their seniors very strictly and as a result got wonderful results. However, we see as Kali Yuga progresses, this tendency is decreasing and few think that no need to follow any guidelines, instructions from seniors and what they like to do. How to correct this type of mentality in devotees?
Well, if they won't listen and they won't listen, then maybe in a sense they're hopeless. If they can't listen to anybody, then they become hopeless and they can't advance. Yeah? So the whole basis of bhakti is association of devotees, and that association means that we have to obey the orders. If we don't do that, then how can we advance? Yeah? So therefore that means they just block their advancement by doing so. If they're intelligent, then they will. If they're not intelligent, they won't. So... Yeah.
The next question, Maharaj. It is said that Guru gets affected by disciples' way of sadhana. If so, in what are all the ways the Guru is getting affected, physically, spiritually, mentally?
Guru gets affected by?
By the activities of the disciple or the level of sadhana of the disciples.
Well, obviously the whole idea of Guru is that he's supposed to guide the disciple to advance. And the disciple on his part tries to do that, if he's a good disciple. If he's a bad disciple, he doesn't do that. So then what is the function of Guru at that point? If the disciple doesn't want to advance, or doesn't want to follow instructions to advance, then what is the purpose of having that relationship at all? Not really a relationship, huh? So if it gets extreme, then scripture says the Guru should reject the disciple if he's hopeless. Huh? In other cases, may not be so. You know, some borderline cases or whatever. Again, the sins that a disciple commits, then those reflect on the Guru, and then he has some responsibility because he's responsible, and therefore he gets some of the effect on him because of that. That's of course a mundane concept, like the king. If the citizens do sinful activity, he gets 1/6 of the result. Huh? If the wife commits sin, the husband gets the result. Like this. If the minister does something wrong, the king gets the result. So there's a shared responsibility. So the same with the guru also. He gets some problem or because of that obstruction, because of the disobedience and sinful activities of disciples.
After the guru leaves the planet and goes to the spiritual world, will he still get affected by the disciples' activities?
Not in the spiritual world.
The guru is in the spiritual world, but the disciple is still in the material world.
Well, if he's in the spiritual world, he can't get affected by anything as such.
Okay.
But if he has his bond of the disciple that he's delivering, he may have to stay in the material world again to deliver that disciple.
Arat Prabhupada one time said, even after my leaving, I'll take the karma of my disciples. Prabhupada said one time, after leaving also I'll take the karma of my
disciples. So then he has to come back again because of disciples.
Hare Krishna, any other questions? Anybody want to ask for a question? Question.
Often we hear this statement that tree is known by the fruits, and similarly there is an indication that by the disciples one guru is known in terms of responsibility of training and all. But at the same time we see, Maharaj, that even in case of Srila Prabhupada, I mean the greatness of his effort, extraordinary preaching, we still see that there were disciples who fell off during the course of and then so many things happened also in the movement. So then how do we understand that statement? That statement is also there and the reality is also there. How do we reconcile?
Well, we can say that in any not just the Prabhupada but anybody or any position of responsibility, that we can have a person in a responsible position and then we can look at the results. But then of course sometimes we see that even in ideal situations, or supposed to be ideal situations, then we get problems or whatever. And the same with ideal governments or whatever like that, then the head of the prime minister or whatever is a good person, but then the people under him may end up with problems or whatever. So we can attribute that to simply the nature of the material world on the one hand, that though we're on the leaders on one level, other people are not on that level, and we cannot always predict what they're going to do. If we have enough time, then we can adjust things and reject the bad things and just try to keep the good things. If we don't have that time, then we may have a problem. So Prabhupada was only 10 years there, so therefore we get all sort of a mixture of people there, and it's difficult sometimes to see who are the the good devotees and who are the unserious devotees, etc. But then, of course, another thing is that result. What is the result we want? And that may be internal, not external. So we cannot always judge things by external results either. Yeah? So, as for spiritual life, of course, we're looking at the bhakti, but then how do we judge the bhakti also? And what does the bhakti mean? It's a continuous process over many lifetimes. So therefore, even if people fall away from bhakti in this lifetime, they may progress to next lifetime. So nothing is lost in one sense. So if we look temporarily, we see a bad result, but long term we have a good result.
So Maharaj, can we say that this statement, we can take in context of the good disciples?
Yeah.
Rather than taking in terms of fruits that are spoiled for some disease or something.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. Why is that devotees do not want Sarupya, Salokya, Samipya and Salokya?
But the devotee does not want these things in themselves, only if they are in service to his pleasing Krishna, how he wants to please Krishna. So he accepts them. If they are favorable for his own service to Krishna, he just does not want sarupya. I want to go to the spiritual world. Finished. I want to get a spiritual form. Finished. That's not his goal. He will take those things, but the primary factor is serving and pleasing the Supreme Lord.
Next question, Maharaj. Does the concept of greater, lesser, superior, inferior exist only in the material world? What is its counterpart in the spiritual world?
Well, there's lesser and more because we have Krishna as the ultimate form and Vishnu as the other form, etc. And even among Krishna, then we have Madhurya Rasa as superior to Shantarasa or Dasya Rasa, etc. And then even among different groups, we have some are more intimate associates and some are less intimate, etc. In that sense, they're superior and inferior. But they never feel a superiority to others. Even though objectively looking, we can say one is a more intense relationship. So there's no feeling of one person being superior and another being inferior, because that's all something, a concept of the material world.
So much. Some more questions. How should a woman devotee act in the midst of men devotees? We see in the Vedic scriptures so many instructions on how men and women should behave. Because sometimes a woman devotee may think that she has attained highest realization of bhakti, no need to follow these rules and regulations. We have seen in Mahabharata, Ramayana, how Mother Sita, Draupadi, Kunti, etc. followed all the Vedic regulations.
Well, we cannot use spiritual realization on our level to justify anything. We can't say, becoming spiritually advanced, they don't have to follow any rules. So, even a person is practicing Raghunuga, follow rules. So, externally, they act like a Vaidhi Bhakta. So the devotees themselves, beyond the rules of bhakti, we follow social conventions as much as possible. And to say we're beyond those social conventions, well, you can say that, but then you shouldn't live in society. You should go off to Radhakund and live by yourself then, in that case, if you're beyond social conventions or whatever. Don't want to follow any rules. Live by yourself someplace. But if you're living in the world, then you have to follow those rules. Now, of course, in the modern world, those the conventional rules of the Varnashram system are somewhat lost. But we try to preserve them as much as possible because they have value for us. And if we reject those, then it creates a disturbance for everybody else. And then, consequently, we can't advance.
Hare Krishna. We have today yet another book translated by Guru Maharaj Hisavinas Banaswami. The title, Shruti Stuti Vakya by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati. Translated by Guru Maharaj. Those devotees interested in taking the book can come forward, but we request you, first Prabhuji should come forward and Mataji should wait till they are called for. Only when they are asked to come forward, they should come forward. Hare Krishna.
Anyone can come forward. This is a wonderful prayer by Vedas, so we can also take some information how to pray to them.
Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.